we were talking about marriage, and it came up that as a married couple, my responsibility is to get her to heaven, and her responsibility is to get me to heaven. And if you're not working toward that, then you're doing something wrong in your marriage.
Starting out, I mean, I don't want to paint this picture like us starting out in marriage was not like it is today.
No.
Not at all.
No.
Mm-hmm. And the road was rough. We had a lot of things going on, and our faith was not the priority in our marriage when it started.
Well, that's something we told both of our girls. You know, we said, quit looking. You're not picking anyway, God is.
Right.
You know, so quit looking.
Mm-hmm.
They'll come into your life when you start taking care of you. I did.
Yeah.
I left the church.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I left the church for a while. And I came back. And when Steve joined the church, I went to all the RCIA classes with him and with our daughter. And it was the most rewarding thing I think I have ever gone through.
And you gotta be able to work through that. It's like a dance. You gotta be able to communicate and dance together through the whole life process with one another. And so sometimes you're gonna give more, and sometimes you're gonna give a whole lot less. They might remind you, but I mean, you'll be okay.
Here's your host.
Good evening and welcome to tonight's show. I'm Tony Miller with KCDM, and I'll be your host. Thanks for joining us for another episode of Pastor's Perspective. We are in the third week of Lent, and we'll be previewing the Gospel from St. John for the fourth Sunday of Lent. Introduce the posse around the table tonight. Father Marty, welcome.
Good evening, everybody.
Father James.
Good evening, everyone.
Father Mike.
Hello.
Everybody's kind of out of position tonight because we have a special treat for everyone. The second half of our show tonight is going to be talking about the vocation of marriage. And so we've got a couple extra couples around the table. I'd like to introduce Tammy and Dennis Kramer. Welcome to the show.
Thank Good you. Evening.
Good evening.
And I'd like to introduce Carrie and Steve Berry.
Hola.
Welcome Hello. To the show.
We're now bilingual.
Yes.
And I also like to introduce my better half. My wife Sandy is here to make the third couple around the table to talk about marriage tonight.
Hello.
She's here reluctantly. I was dragging her kicking and screaming down the parking lot.
No chocolate chip cookies?
I didn't bring them.
So thanks for coming. I appreciate everybody answering the invitation and coming to share your marriage experience with us. In our news and notes tonight, I was talking after the Mass on 4:30 on Saturday. I was talking to the choir, and I talked to Jeff Rucker, and he is one of three men on the choir. And they would like to put out an urgent plea for any men who are interested in joining the choir. They could desperately use some more men. I think the choir is sounding really good. So if you're if you can sing at all, or even if you can't sing, want to learn how to sing, they would love to have you in the choir. And Father Mike, I'd like to thank you for Monday night's adoration.
It was fun. I enjoyed it.
Silent. I can never remember the name of it.
Stop, Silent, Still.
Stop, Silent, Still. That's it. It was really nice. Your adoration, your reflection, and the prayers, and Mandy Brent and her music. That's just a really, if you haven't had a chance to go to that, you really need to make some time Monday night, spend an hour with the Lord. And the other thing I'd like to mention is I found a way to do a survey on the website. So if you're a Pastor's Perspective listener, we'd like your input, and we'd like to kind of let us know who you are. You can go onto our website at kcdmradio.org and fill out the questionnaire. It's just a quick little survey and ask some basic information. We'd kind of like to figure out who, if anyone, is listening to the show. So, and then Father Marty, communal reconciliation, has communal reconciliation been scheduled?
It has. So I can try to run down the area ones. This will be interesting. On Monday, March 20th at St. Alphonsus in Mount Pleasant. Wednesday the 22nd at All Saints in Keokuk. Sunday, March 26th is North Lee County. So we start in Fort Madison at 1, head to West Point at 2:30, and Houghton at 4. And then the one here in the Des Moines County parishes is April 1st, no fooling, at 10 a.m. at St. John's Church.
All right, very good. If you haven't been to Reconciliation, that'll be an opportunity to have, what, 6 or 7 priests all at once to run everybody through. Is there any other news or notes or events or anything that you need to mention?
Well, we do have some news, if you did not hear it this past weekend. So I have been reassigned by Bishop Zinkula, effective July 1st. I will become the pastor of Sacred Heart in Newton.
That's not good news. I mean, maybe it's good news for you, but it's not good for Divine Mercy Parish.
I'm a nervous excited.
Yeah. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
We hate to see you go, but...
Appreciate that. And then we can also announce our new pastor will be Father Jake Greiner, who's currently the pastor at Our Lady of Victory in Davenport.
All right.
And that will not be the only announcement on the weekend. So I will also announce on July 1st, I'll become a pastor at St. Mary's Parish in Tipton, St. Mary's Parish in Mechanicsville, and St. Bernadette's Parish in West Branch, Iowa. So I will have Cedar County. At this point, right now they've gotten the pastor puzzle figured out. We've got all the puzzle pieces laid. We know where the pastors are going. The parochial vicar puzzle is the next puzzle to be worked on. Bishop Zinka has reassured us that Burlington is a top priority. We're fairly confident we're going to get a parochial vicar. We just don't know how the puzzle pieces are going to get laid out at this point.
Well, that kind of put a damper on the show.
Congratulations. You can go and kick us out now.
I will probably have to get a hold of Father Greiner to see what that means for pastor's perspective. Hopefully we will continue and hit the ground running. So
hopefully you won't listen to this one, right?
Father Phillips, do you have an announcement?
Yes, I have an announcement too. Nobody knows about it, but I'm not going anywhere.
So if nothing else, we'll have Father Mike at the mic. Is that what you're saying? Okay, very good. Well, all right. Let's get started with the show then. Father Mike, you want to start us off with your opening prayer?
I would be happy to. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit,
amen. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we're gathered here tonight. In view of all these announcements, we have mixed feelings. We certainly ask you to be with us and to be with our wonderful priest brothers. Grant, O Lord, that in the course of this evening with our guests here, we may learn a little bit more about the wonderful vocation of marriage and be present with us in our homes. Grant that we might always do your will as we go through the season of Lent. We ask all of this through the powerful intercession of our Blessed Mother. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father Mike. Tonight, the posse will discuss John's reading for the fourth Sunday of Lent, and that's chapter 9, verses 1 through 41. But I believe we're going to read the short version tonight, aren't we?
We're reading the Cliff Notes version.
The Cliff Notes version, all right. In this reading, Jesus encounters a blind beggar and restores his sight on the Sabbath. What follows is an interesting juxtaposition of blindness and sight that doesn't end well for the Pharisees. Father James, you have our reading tonight?
I do.
All right, very good.
As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. He spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva and smeared the clay on his eyes and said to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means send. So he went and washed and came back able to see. His neighbors and those who had seen him earlier as a beggar said, "Isn't this the one who used to sit and beg?" Some said it is, but others said, "No, he just looks like him." He said, "I am." They brought the one who was once blind to the Pharisees. Now Jesus had made clay and opened his eyes on a Sabbath. So then the Pharisees also asked him how he was able to see. He said to them, "He put clay on my eyes, and I washed. And now I can see." So some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, How can a sinful man do such things? And there was a division among them. So they said to the blind man again, What do you have to say about him, since he opened your eyes? He said, He is a prophet. They answered and said to him, You were born totally in sin, and are you trying to teach us? Then they threw him out. When Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, he found him and said, Do you believe in the Son of Man? He answered and said, Who is he, sir, that I may believe in him? Jesus said to him, You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he. He said, I do believe, Lord, and he worshipped him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Father James.
You're welcome.
All right, so the Gospel starts off and talks a little bit about the beggar being born blind because of sin. Jesus explains that the blindness will make God's works visible. Is this similar to God bringing good out of the suffering we experience?
I think God can do that, very much so. I think at times when we're going through it, we don't see it, of course. Because one of the things I know that when I'm going through a rough time and people say to me, there's a light at the end of the tunnel, I usually think it's a freight train coming right at me, to be honest with you. But I do think God can bring good out of things that might seem bad. And the other thing, too, is on that, we have to go back into the Old Testament, because there was a belief that the sins of the parents were visited upon their children. And so Jesus, kind of takes that notion and throws it out the window and says, no, it's so God's glory can work through him.
Okay. Jesus causes division among the Pharisees and the people, as the Pharisees say, this man is not of God. Why does Jesus taunt the Pharisees by healing on the Sabbath? Is he directly challenging them, or is he doing it to draw attention to himself, or... it seems kind of in your face to me.
I don't think he's directly challenging the Pharisees so much. He's just doing the will of God, his Father. And it's the will of God, his Father, that there be healing that will take place. I think it isn't so much a confrontation between Jesus and the Pharisees. He's just pointing out their word that comes down here to English, a pharisaical attitude. That they're hypocrites, they don't do what they are supposed to be proclaiming that they do. And so he's just pointing to the truth, as he always does.
So what's the main lesson that we can learn, or that we take away from the gospel?
I'd say it's an opportunity, because oftentimes, we can be blinded. And, do we truly come to Christ, whether it's in the sacrament of reconciliation, to kind of help us remove those blinders? Because oftentimes, for us, something they'd always talk about in the seminary is like, every individual has blind spots in their life. And it's, how are you working to kind of improve those blind spots? Because you yourself don't necessarily realize you have these problems. It's an opportunity, that we're saved together. Christ came not to just save Father Phillips and the rest of us are goners, but he came to save each and every one of us. And with that, for me, this season of Lent, you kind of think about that fifth station of the cross. Simon of Cyrene helping Jesus carry his cross. Are we helping each other to kind of see those areas where maybe we fall short? Maybe we don't have our focus on Christ. They're able to kind of maybe help us be that spiritual guide to kind of help us to see those sins that maybe we hold on to that we don't necessarily want to give up, or maybe we don't see in ourselves. That's an opportunity for us to begin to remove those sins. So that way on Easter, we can truly welcome in the resurrected Christ fully into our hearts.
I think another thing that we can draw from the gospel today is not to judge other people. The Pharisees are very quick to judge the man born blind. They call him a number of times in the gospel a sinner. Okay. And our Lord comes to his defense by telling him that it isn't his sin, it isn't the sin of his parents or his own sin so much. But the Pharisees are the very first ones to judge him. And I think the lesson that we have to learn is not to judge other people ourselves, regardless of what we see on the surface of things.
Well, isn't there a matter of faith involved in this too? because the blind beggar saw Jesus as a prophet and went and washed his eyes and came back. So they saw the miracle happen in front of them, and yet the Pharisees still didn't believe.
And but so, that's like our faith sometimes. We know we believe, but we're blind to several aspects of it. And we need to open ourselves up to that.
Mm-hmm. Opening yourself to the Holy Spirit and to Jesus. That's a good point.
And two, you know, the thing is that the blind man, you know, his friends bring him to Jesus. Kind of like you were talking about, Father James, with Simon and Cyrene. And then, you know, once Jesus puts the clay on his eyes, Jesus disappears for about, 35 verses, which in John is something, you know, because usually Jesus is right there, but he disappears for about, you know, and finally when he does get kicked out of the synagogue, and bring me back to that, you know, Jesus approaches him, you know, again, to help him see, you know, do you believe in the Son of Man? Well, who is he, sir, so that I may worship him? Well, you're talking to him. Well, I do believe, Lord. And sometimes it's something as simple as that. You know, you're talking to him. I do believe, Lord. Sometimes it takes us a little bit to get there.
Hey, it's kind of like just even the Eucharist. You know, we as Catholics oftentimes look at the Eucharist and kind of go like, yeah, I know the church says this, but like, it just kind of seems like bread. But then here's, you know, somebody that has come through OCIA or RCIA, begins to have that faith and begins to see Christ present in the Eucharist, their eyes are open. And for kind of some of us, you know, cradle Catholics, we're kind of like, well, that's what we do. Like, yeah, we know Jesus is in there, but I don't really, you know, really believe it. It's that same kind of opportunity for us to get the stuff taken off of our eyes, you know. Maybe right. It's an opportunity for us as cradle Catholics, you know, to head up the catechism, or maybe, you know, come and join OCIA the next round, you know, continue to learn more about your faith.
Mm-hmm.
And talking about OCIA, this is the second scrutiny for the OCIA.
Correct.
And so, you know, and that's why we use ERA readings always when we have the scrutinies. Because last week in the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, you know, it focuses on that water, that thirst. You know, mm-hmm. the waters of baptism. Well, in the second scrutiny, it's going to focus more on the light. That Jesus is the light of the world, that we're called to follow him, which also is a very important part of our Easter vigil. And then that next week, when we get into Lazarus, which is one of my favorites, is that, you know, that baptism, that we die to self so that we can rise to new life with Jesus.
Now, what is this OCIA you're talking about?
We have changed it again because, okay. you know, we used to do RCIA.
Okay.
It is now OCIA,
the okay. Order of Christian
and Initiation.
I understand.
Yeah. So it's no longer the rite of Christian initiation; it's the order. And you know why I think they do this?
Why?
So they can print new books, and we have to buy them.
Got to keep those publishers in business somehow.
And the other thing too, and I know we don't want to take a lot of time, you know, because we want to talk to our couples that are here tonight, graciously took their time. But the other thing, too, is that, you know, just like last week, you know, we have this group of Samaritans that want to come in and join, you know, Christians.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is another group of that. So if you professed your faith in Jesus, you know, after the resurrection, you would be kicked out of the synagogue, out of the temple. So this man born blind becomes a symbol of those who have been, who have turned their life over to Jesus, but now they've been kicked out of the synagogue. So it's John's way also of explaining that.
Mm-hmm. And the way the beggar defended and said, you know, he rubbed clay on my eyes and I washed them and now I can see. He kind of gave his testimony in the synagogue before he was thrown out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what we need to do, is share our experience with Jesus with others.
I think sometimes we're too close to what we have, you know, like the Eucharist and the rest of, and Father James was saying, that today there's a big problem with a lot of Catholics who don't really believe in the real presence. I always remember a time when I was at St. Patrick's here in Burlington, and one of my Protestant friends came, and we were going through the church. And he said, you know, I always enjoy coming into a Catholic church. And I said, why? And he said, because there's something different about it. There's a presence here that I don't always experience in other places. And I said, well, I'll tell you what I think it is. I said, I think it is the fact that we as Catholics believe that the Lord is present body, blood, soul, and divinity under the sacrament of the Blessed Eucharist in the tabernacle. That doesn't mean that he's not present in other churches, but he's present in a very special way in the Catholic Church. And I think a lot of times we just take that for granted, you know, whereas other people have a inkling of it, but they're not quite sure what it means.
No. Well, a parallel is, like, we live next to the Mississippi River. You know, where we live up by Mosquito Park. I'll look down and I'll go, oh, that's neat. But then there's people who drive from Wisconsin or wherever, all over the place, and they think it's the greatest thing in the world. And here I just stand and look at it and go, yeah, I should go down there sometime.
Yeah,
whenever. I don't realize. Yeah, we do take it for granted.
Yes.
And that's kind of what we do with the Eucharist and with the church and everything too. Yes. So, all right, very good. I think that's a good place to end our discussion on the gospel. So let's move on. For those who are just tuning in, you are listening to Pastor's Perspective, a local show featuring the priests of Divine Mercy Parish, bringing you their perspective on today's Catholic Church. Tonight we have Father Marty, Father James, and Father Mike here, along with Dennis and Tammy Kramer, Carrie and Steve Berry, and also my wife is here, Sandy, has joined us as well. And we're going to move on to the next phase of our show now. We're happy that you tuned in, and we're going to start talking about the vocation of marriage. And who better to talk about marriage than priests, right? Well, no, maybe not.
You read this book of canon law.
That's right.
So we have some special guests joining us tonight around the table. How many, let's start off, Dennis and Tammy, how many years have you guys been married?
It's 33. It'll be 34 at the end of the month.
The 25th.
Okay. And Carrie and Steve?
41.
Going on 100. And not making 42, I don't think.
Probably not. That's impossible.
That's impossible. You said she was 39.
Yeah, that's true.
At the very least, you may need a new couch.
There's an extra bed upstairs.
And Sandy, how many years have we been married?
37.
Okay.
Did you ask Sandy that question because you weren't sure?
Well,
he knows, but he always says it'll be 38 in June. And I said yes, but it's 37. We've been 37.
Now, when are we going to hand it over to our illustrious new host?
Right now.
Ooh, I'm excited,
Father Marty.
That's my first question. my whole night, my whole train of thought now is ruined.
That didn't take much.
That's true.
It is time to turn the hosting duties over to you, Father Marty, so you have the reins now.
I am the guest DJ?
Yes, you are.
All right.
I don't know that I like it on this side of the microphone, but let's go.
Do I get to wear the headphones?
You can if you want.
All right, I'll have the headphones, please, yes. What am I listening for?
Jeez, this is scary.
I just listen.
All righty. Hey, Father Marty here, guest DJ. I got practice with the Tom Petty Show earlier this year. And so I'm going to start the questions tonight, and I'm looking at Steve and Carrie, and I always love, you know, Carrie Berry. I love that. I'm sure that went into your wanting to marry Steve. But Carrie, I'll ask you, because I always ask the bride-to-be when they come in.
All right.
How'd you guys meet?
We met at Jack's Discount here in Burlington. That's where we worked.
Yes.
Really?
Both of us started work there, and that's... Yeah.
Cool.
Yes.
She worked in clothing and I worked in hardware, and they had a little area that they put the tags on the clothes, and I always make sure I'd walk through that area to go to the break room. I mean, you could go another way, but I always went through there.
Hi.
I was not a real swift mover.
I got to ask, Steve, did you have hair at that time? Or?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
All righty.
Not much, but it was there. And, yeah.
So, Steve, how long did it take you to ask Carrie out for the first date?
I don't think I ever really asked her out. We got lined up in kind of like a bowling. We were in a bowling league. Other people helped us out because they knew what a cool guy I was.
We only had video.
And then we just started... seeing each other. I mean, it just progressed, and after a month, I thought, this is a special lady, and I asked her to marry me.
After a month?
After a month.
Wow.
And then we got married. It was May. I asked you in June. And we got married in November.
Wow.
She's just pure of heart. And just, she brought out the best of me. And she still brings out the best of me. Yeah. I would not be.
That's very nice. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be here without her. So.
He's a sweetheart.
Literally.
And she volunteers you at 4:30.
Yeah, at 4:30. This is me getting even.
All the time I volunteer.
Yes.
Yes.
Great.
Yes.
Tammy?
In a bar.
In a bar.
That's yeah. Great.
He bought me a drink, sent it over. Hmm? But it came from that guy over there.
I had more moves than Steve had.
So the worst part about it was the 2 days later I was leaving to go to Phoenix to look for a job. I just graduated from college and was going down there where a friend lived. He called me every day while I was gone.
Hmm.
And so it's like when I came back.
That was the pursuit, Steve.
Oh, okay.
I got to get out. He'd have to walk by the clothing section. Yeah, yeah.
So when I came back, he had a dozen roses waiting for me and.
Oh, neat.
And asked me not to leave.
You're good.
Wow. Yeah. Will you offer dating advice later?
No wonder I'm celibate. All right.
I've been out of the game for a while.
Steve, first date, other than being, you know, the drink in the bar and the roses.
No, it's Dennis.
Dennis, I mean, I'm sorry.
The first date. Well, I would say meeting her that night, I was out with a friend that I worked with, and he was having some struggles with what was going on in his life, and we went out not to meet anybody, and then I think she was kind of doing the same thing with her friends before she left to go to Phoenix, and it just kind of happened that way. And after meeting her, I think she became a really good friend. You know, and to spend that kind of time to be able to talk on the phone for that long about what's going on in your day. I know there wasn't that much exciting going on in my day to talk to her on the phone, but we just kind of dated after that. I think you went to my class reunion.
Yep.
I don't think we've been back hardly since to the class reunion, but we just started hitting it off. I met her family, she met mine, and there's some, you know, some...
A rather large family.
I have a rather large family, yes. And so we met each other's family, and it kind of just took off from there. We started dating around the same time in May, and I was starting my job. I was a dispatcher at the time, and I got sworn in as a police officer in November, went to the academy in January, and it was on a weekend when I was back is when I proposed marriage to her. I believe it was in January. It was like 6 months.
Wow.
He did get down on one knee into the bean dip that we
were eating. I did. It was remarkable. It's not like you see the big plans nowadays that couples make when they propose, but it did happen, and here we are, 30-some years later.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful.
I'm curious. When you went to Phoenix and talked every day and everything, did you get offered a job down there? Or?
I never looked.
Never looked?
I never looked.
Hmm.
I just, I don't know, I knew I wanted to come back and explore that option.
Great.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm going to turn to my right here. Sandy?
Yeah.
Where'd you guys meet?
We were going to school together at Marshalltown Community College. And that's...
She was in her second year.
Yeah.
And I had just started that fall. And
he's younger
than
I am.
Ooh.
I robbed the cradle, yeah.
Scandalous.
And I was taking journalism classes and was a photographer learning photography at the time. And I was walking around the college, and I walked by the, was that orchestra room?
The music room.
The music room. And I saw her in the around the piano in the music room. And I just kind of caught her out the corner of my eye, and I stopped, and I backed up, and I looked in, and I went, I've got to find out who that is. And so after that, I started spending more time down around the music room, and we eventually got introduced to each other. I actually joined the Dynamics, which was a singing and dancing group.
He joined the singing group.
I joined the singing and dancing group.
Are you listening, Jeff Rucker?
I also tried out for some plays and was in a musical and was in another two plays. And after the onstage thing didn't work out so well, then I went behind the scenes and did lighting and sound and that kind of stuff just to be involved with the productions. So that's how we met.
That's how he pursued me.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Not nearly as romantic as roses, but you know, it was still.
What was your first date?
Our first date, we went over to one of the guys that was in the Dynamics group. We went over to his house and he had some people over and we played cribbage and drank and just hung out. And one of the things that I noticed about her right away is kind of like Dennis was saying, is that we could just talk and talk. Mm-hmm. It was just natural and there was no tension. There was no, all the girls that I dated before that in high school and everything, it was always just kind of tense. And with her right away, it was just...
Yeah, we could just sit in the car and talk about anything and everything. And
yeah, it just was really easy. So.
And you can still do it, can't you?
Yeah,
pretty much.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
And big families, definitely, because when I had to go out for the first dinner out there, you walk out to a table of like 20, going, who's coming? Yeah.
All of them.
Big family.
Everybody. Mm-hmm. So.
So it sounds like that you started as friends first, and then mm-hmm. kind of wooed and then went in. So would that be advice you would give the couples today? Start as friends or?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Somebody you can talk to.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, I think you have to be friends first.
Yeah.
If you're not friends and can't get along or don't like each other, then...
There are so many things that come through the marriage that if you can't communicate with each other in the beginning, you're not going to be able to communicate later. So...
Because it doesn't get any easier.
It doesn't get any easier. You learn new systems and how to react and how...
And to compromise.
Yes, big time.
Yes.
And a lot of times things will happen and we just kind of go... We both back off and go, okay, they're having a moment. And then we just move on. And then that person, either me or Carrie, will apologize. Go, I'm sorry, I was a little cranky. Here's why. Yeah. Mm. And so you always have to have that communication. And if you have that at the beginning, that's...
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Even after 41 years, we still have arguments. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They're not like they used to be. I think when we were younger, they were a little more heated and, I don't know, emotional at times.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I think after 41 years, you settle in and...
Now we're quicker to going, okay, there's other things going on here. It's just like, what, 2 or 3 weeks ago, we weren't feeling good. We're both a little edgy and cranky, and something went wrong with the TV, and we just kind of went sparked a bit, and then we said, okay, that's not it. That let's just forget about that.
Okay.
So.
But that's your faith, too. It is. I have seen our faith grow, and we get closer and closer to Christ, and our relationship gets less volatile.
Yes.
Right. When you're young, there's a lot of stuff going on, kids and running here and there. And stuff like that. So you do get kind of emotional at times, creaming weed out the back door. But now I would never dream of doing anything like that out of anger.
I said is I'd like a little cream of weed. Sure.
Okay, you're going to probably have to mute this part.
Just hit me the wrong way that morning. Anyway, but you know, the closer we get to our faith, the better it gets.
And I think the older we become, at least for Steve and I, the more we realize what's really important in life.
Yeah.
Yes, what's really important, not the materialism.
And she has been... a big blessing that way. I was always more materialistic, wanting all the gadgets and all this and all that. And she says, you don't need that, or you don't, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so she helped me realize that, yeah, you're right, I don't need that. And
it just gets in the way.
Yeah, it
gets
does.
In the way of good communication. It gets in the way of so many things. It gets in the way of your faith, I think. Mm-hmm. And it's just so much easier.
That's where the blind... part of the gospel is coming through. Right. That makes you blind at that
point. We all have our blind spots. Yeah. I mean, we just all do. It's human nature to have blind spots.
Mm-hmm.
But I think when a marriage survives 41 years, there's got to be a lot of faith there. Mm-hmm. There's got to be a lot of faith.
And thank you for that.
And thank you. Mm-hmm. I just hope that young people nowadays really think about the friendship we talked about and how important that is, you know, before going into marriage. Because it really is a sacred vow you're making. And I think it's very important that you really stop and think.
Yeah, I think no-fault divorce has probably been one of the most horrific things that ever happened to marriage. Mm-hmm. It used to be you had to justify or be able to justify why you're getting divorced. And no-fault divorce just says, we don't care why, just get divorced. And I think everybody goes into marriage, if it doesn't work out, we'll just get divorced and move on. And
exactly.
And that was not my, my parents were married 63 years. And they never talked about divorce. They would never talk about divorce. And they always joked that murder came up quite a bit. But they would never talk about divorce. And her parents were divorced when she was 8. So she lived through the divorce and the separation and all of the anxiety.
But they had been married 25 years before they got divorced.
So. So, but when I got married, it was going to be forever. And so I was, it's funny, I didn't meet her until after I decided that I was going to quit looking. It's just like, I'm just going to go and live my life. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to, someday somebody will come across my path and we'll gel and it will work. You met.
I was 23.
You guys met and you proposed in a month.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't propose for what, 5 years?
I think it was 4 years.
4 years.
Well, you make me look suave.
But I was in college, and I went 2 years at MCC, and then I transferred to Iowa State, and I had to, in the summers, I did internships, so when school got out, I loaded my car, and I drove to wherever my internship was going to be for the summer, and so we were apart. Most of those 4 years, we were apart more than we were together. Mm-hmm. You know, the old absence makes the heart grow fonder thing is, it's really true.
But you would call.
Oh, yeah, we'd talk and that kind of stuff. But yeah, it took, I proposed in 4 years, and that took another 2 years before we got married. So we met in 79 and got married in 85. So we joked that, you know, we dated and were engaged longer than most people stay married today.
Yeah, that's true.
So. Yeah, that's something we told both of our girls. You know, we said, quit looking. You're not picking anyway. God is.
Right.
You know, so quit looking. Mm-hmm. They'll come into your life when you start taking care of you.
Mm-hmm.
Good point. Mm-hmm.
So, Tammy and Dennis, let me ask. Where'd you guys get married at?
The Methodist Church.
Okay. Was there any marriage prep involved?
We went and met with the pastor there once.
Yeah.
Okay.
And for that marriage there at the Methodist Church.
Okay. Steve and Terry?
We were married at the Nazarene Church just south of town. I was, my best friend was the son of the pastor and very friendly with the pastor. And then once I joined the church.
In 2000.
2001.
2001.
I told her before our 25th anniversary we'd get married in the church, and I had like 6 months to spare. Father Hyland did the validation ceremony, and that was quite a moving experience. And
it is a very moving. We got married in the church.
Yeah, I just thought it was just going to be something, you know, blah blah blah, but it was the full boat, and we did it after Mass, and we had several friends standing around and watching. So
it was beautiful.
Great.
Did you think it was more emotional than the first time?
Yes.
The first time we were rushing getting our marriage license. Golly, Ned. Yeah.
Tony and Sally?
It was Immaculate Conception Church in Haverhill, Iowa, where his farm was. He was Catholic, I was not. So we went through classes at Iowa State in Ames.
Yeah, we met with the priest at Immaculate Conception, and then we went through pre-Cana, they called it, pre-Cana classes, in between me being gone for internships and all that kind of stuff.
And the priest kept calling him Steve, and I just knew I was going to hear Steve.
during a rehearsal dinner, sorry. She was just sure I was going to be Steve.
Actually, in my former parish of Kyoto, I've got friends back there, and all during the wedding, she the priest called the groom to be by the wrong name. And they got to the end after he introduced them and said, "Well, Father, my name is Darren." And he looks at her at him and goes, "I know what your name is."
Dear Phillips, you know, there was a priest here, you know, somewhat recently, and when he introduced the couple for the first time, he used the wrong last name.
Did he really?
Yeah, I wonder who that was.
It wasn't me.
Are you sure?
No, I know.
Well, there's only one other priest around the table then. If it wasn't you and it wasn't I.
I don't know. How long ago was that?
That would have been pretty New Year's Eve.
Well, you know, on New Year's Eve, you're not responsible for anything. I did have a situation one time where I had two Polish people, and I couldn't pronounce their names. I tried. I gave it a real college try. But anyway, at the reception, the grandmother came up to me, and she said, "Oh, it's all wrong. It's all wrong. We got to do it all over again." And I said, "What are you talking about?" She said, "You called them by the wrong names." And I said, "I intended to witness the marriage of this man and this woman, and so they're duly married, you know." But she was convinced that we had to go back to church and start over.
We could all tell stories about that. That is for sure. So I'm just going to read from the catechism, because Father James is the canon law expert. Apparently, I'm the catechism expert here, and you've hit on this a little bit. But this is paragraph 1602. Sacred Scripture begins with the creation of man and woman in the image and likeness of God and concludes with a vision of the wedding feast of the Lamb. Scripture speaks throughout of marriage and its mystery, its institution and the meaning God has given it, its origin and its end, its various realizations throughout the history of salvation, the difficulties arising from sin, and its renewal in the Lord in the new covenant of Christ and the church. And one of the things that struck me from all three of you as you've been talking here tonight is just how much the role God played in bringing you together and keeping you together.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, I never really realized it before, but 3 or 4 years ago at a Bible study, maybe it was longer than that, we were talking about marriage, and it came up that as a married couple, my responsibility is to get her to heaven, and her responsibility is to get me to heaven. And if you're not working toward that, then you're doing something wrong in your marriage. So, I think I heard that from both of you guys tonight. So,
she's got to pull me out of a deeper hole, though. So.
Yeah,
she's got her working out for us.
Oh, believe me, that's not unique to you.
Except for it's opposite, because there's a whole lot of times I'll say something to you about, okay, explain that to me, because I'm not quite sure about that.
Sometimes we have some heated discussions about our faith and about the church and what the church teaches, but usually I'll just go upstairs and
we'll talk,
calm down a little bit, and then we come back together and cooler heads prevail. But
it's like
that doesn't happen.
Just a few weeks ago.
Yeah, it's like sometimes I'll get discouraged and whatever, and Carrie will say, she'll buck me up, and then during COVID, started doing the rosary every day, and and she says, you can do this with me, and roll your eyes, and then I enjoyed doing that with her. So. Mm-hmm.
That's an interesting point. How I don't mean to be too personal here, but how important is prayer with you couples? You know, do you pray together, or is it
every
still
morning.
Kind of embarrassing, or what?
Every morning.
Every morning we do it now. We and I can relate, to younger couples starting out. I mean, I don't want to paint this picture like us starting out in marriage was not like it is today.
No.
Not at all.
No. Mm-hmm.
And the road was rough. We had a lot of things going on, and our faith was not the priority in our marriage when it started. This has been something that has developed over the years, and the only thing I can share is both of our daughters are about, well, my second daughter's about to be married, my first one's married, and they did like the pre-cana or whatever it was for their marriage, and she talks about how much value that is to her relationship with her husband. I look back and, you know, Tony, you talked about, you know, as the man in the relationship, as the father, we need to raise our kids to be faith-filled.
Mm-hmm.
And I've talked to both the kids and I've told them, I said, you know, I let you down early in life, you know, and I surely did, you know,
yeah.
And I want to be thankful now at their age that she, you know, my oldest daughter has found that, and I'm looking for that for my other daughter, you know, to find that, and she will, you know, and we pray about that, and just to have that in our relationship early on would have made it so much easier for us.
Mm-hmm.
So much easier.
Who knew everything you needed to know about raising a kid was right there in a Bible?
It's in the Bible.
You just,
you know, and
who knew?
What to do, how to do it, it's there, and it's the value of it. I can't express that enough to have a relationship with faith involved, and we just got lucky. You know, we got lucky, and I look back now, you know, and now we pray together and do things together that are more faith-filled, and it's so much more rewarding for her and I both.
But that example, even now, that example for our kids, because I actually left the church about 10, well, when the kids were in high school, middle school, high school, in that transition period, I actually left the church for 5 or 6 years, and we didn't go to Mass. We didn't participate at all, and that decision has, it's still resonating.
Oh yes.
Today, but now that we're back, and now that we're setting that example, and we're showing our kids what a faith-filled life is, and what it means to be Catholic, you can come back from it.
I did.
Yeah.
I left the church. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I left the church for a while, and I came back. And when Steve joined the church, I went to all the RCIA classes with him and with our daughter. And it was the most rewarding thing that I think I have ever gone through. I mean, I was brought up Catholic, but like I think Father James said, you just kind of start, you take things for granted. Mm-hmm. But I think leaving and when I came back and when I went through that process, it was just, I don't know, my faith was restored, renewed, whatever you want to say. And I know now that I will never leave the church again. Mm-hmm. I just can never see myself
mm-hmm.
closing that door again. Never.
But the Bible studies that I did, and the Bible in a year, and I'm doing the catechism in a year now, and it's just you got to put some effort into it and learn more about your faith.
Yeah. Yes.
I was going to say, we don't pray together, but
we do the rosaries.
We do the
yes.
But I will say, or she'll say, you need to say a prayer for so-and-so. And then, it's just the other night, I just said a prayer for whoever. So we share our prayers, we share them with each other and who to pray for and whatnot. But we have different styles.
It works for
us. Yeah, it works for us. Yes. So
I just want to say that a really great priest once told me that when you are kneeling at Mass next to your spouse, you are praying together.
Well, yeah.
Do you remember who that
was?
Was that me?
Yes.
School
points.
Even a blind soul. Finds an acorn.
It's true. So I've got one more thing, because I know we're at, I noticed that as my hosting duties, I had to start the clock. So we're at 52 minutes here. And so, can you believe that? We're already at 52 minutes.
No.
So one of the things that we do today for couples who come for marriage prep is a thing called the focus. So facilitating open couple communication, understanding, and study. 151 base questions. You either agree with the statement, you disagree with it, or you're uncertain. What is the one question you would put on the focus today for young people considering the vocation of marriage? I know, that's a tough one.
Mm-hmm. why do you want to get married? Sometimes the why is the wrong reason. You hear about people getting married. Oh, you know, we're going to have fun, this and this and this. No, you got to have a good reason for marriage. I mean, you, connection, it's hard to explain, but get into the basics of what brings you here and why do you want to do this, okay?
You can't be afraid to disagree either.
Right? Oh, yeah.
You go ahead and disagree and talk things through because, you know, I'm not going to always agree with him or and he's not going to have the same opinion that I have. So go ahead and disagree, but, you know, talk it out and work it out and communicate.
Do you see yourself with that person 40 years down the road? And do you see yourself growing with that person, changing with that person, but in a good way, I think?
I think it's, can you give 100%? Because there are times when you think you're giving everything and they're giving nothing. And then there are times when it's 50-50, and there's times when, you know, it's balanced against you or balanced for you. And you got to be able to work through that. It's like a dance. You got to be able to communicate and dance together through the whole life process with one another. And so sometimes you're going to give more, and sometimes you're going to give a whole lot less. They might remind you, but, I mean, you'll be okay.
Or can you forgive?
Yeah.
Can you sacrifice?
Mm-hmm. Bingo. Mm-hmm.
Because the sacrifice gets, once you have kids and, you know, it gets larger and larger, and as the marriage grows, the sacrifice gets larger.
Right.
And if you're not willing to sacrifice, then don't get married because it's not going to work.
No,
because it's not about you.
Right.
It's about us.
Exactly. And I basically got married because I needed somebody that could balance a checkbook.
Same.
Bingo.
Same.
You know what? I'm just going to call you Steve.
Bingo.
One of the questions that I ask is, because what I have found is in the focus is most of the disagreements come on the financial end, you know? And so I always ask the question, how much money can you spend without telling the other?
None.
Well, I don't think we've ever made a major purchase without...
No.
No, not the major one.
No.
You know.
Even for me, I'll say, can I get a book? And she goes, yeah. She rolls her eyes and, yes, you can. But it's just, to me, it's a common courtesy.
Mm-hmm.
And she does the same thing. If, do you mind if I get this? And I roll my eyes, go, yes, you can get that, you know. Mm. Yeah.
Okay.
Now, Tony just goes up the steps and says, I'm going to go spend money. Goes and gets an Amazon.
But once again, that is from 41 years of her beating me upside the head. No, I'm just getting it through my thick skull that's the way it should be. I was not that way at the beginning. Not even close. I would spend.
Gotcha. My favorite answer there was a farmer in Kyoto, and he goes, because the wife-to-be was like, well, maybe $100, and she looked over at her husband-to-be, and he goes, $20,000. And we both kind of looked at him, and he goes, well, what if I need to buy seed?
Fair enough.
Sure. And she's like, well, that's a business expense.
Yes.
So
that's good.
Any other last words of advice you would like to give?
It's a struggle. But it's a good struggle.
Mm-hmm. It's work.
And
it's
I would recommend it to everybody, especially if they got the right person.
Yeah.
Ditto.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that I've been successful in my life with the family and my career and everything because of her.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that things would have turned out so well had I not met her.
I would be
and
dead.
Married her.
I would be dead. Literally.
Said things like that before.
That's possible too, because after I got out of college and we got married, college life didn't stop for a couple of years.
And she brought out the best of me.
And when our son was born, she looked at me and said, well, you got to make a decision. Either you're going to keep the college life going or you're going to pick the family. But you got to make a decision right now. And that was a pretty easy decision.
He made the right decision.
But it took that to sober me up.
Mm. So 30, what I'm hearing is 30 plus years for all of us. Mm-hmm. And we're living the good life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly.
With faith and trust in God and
family.
And family.
See, and I think that's why in the Gospel of John, his first miracle happened to be at a wedding. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, wow. We have no more wine. Well, you save the best for last. And when couples start to say to themselves, we have no more wine left, well, Jesus can fill that. Mm-hmm. You know, so have that faith, very folks.
Yes. Yes.
And I'm going to check the time again, because that's what I'm told to do. We are at 59 minutes and 36 seconds. So that does bring us to the end of another show. I'd like to thank our special guests, Steve and Carrie, Tammy and Dennis, and Sandy and Tony. And especially Sandy, thanks for agreeing to join us, because this is what our, 38th time trying to get her on the show to join us here. And for not kicking Tony under the table any more than you did.
That's what I did pretty good.
Yes. Marriage oftentimes is not easy, but it is worth the efforts. Pastor's perspective for next week, the fifth Sunday of Lent, will continue in John's Gospel, where Jesus will raise Lazarus from the dead after 4 days. The Mass will be our topic for the rest of the show as we walk with Jesus through Holy Week on our way to Easter Sunday. Until next week, believe in the gospel, turn away from sin. Have you been to confession yet? Make plans to get there before Easter. We do have a new formula, so hopefully we'll have it down. We invite you to attend Mass with us as well. Consider this an invitation to come back to Mass. And if you are attending Mass, invite someone to join you. Father Mike, Father James, thanks for joining us and hanging around tonight.
Thank you.
It was a blast.
You betcha. And finally, I'd like to thank Steve and Carrie again, Tammy and Dennis, and Sandy and Tony. Thank you for joining us. And the humble person that I am, I will not thank myself for assuming the hosting duties here tonight. But finally, a big, big thank you to our listeners for tuning in. Join us again next week for another episode of Pastor's Perspective. We're going to talk to you again next week. We've got two vocations around the table tonight, Holy Orders and Marriage. And so we invite you and encourage you to live your vocation where God is calling you to the fullest. Be the man or woman God created you to be. And for our closing prayer tonight, we probably should have put this under news and notes, but a priest that served here in Des Moines County back in the 2000s, Father Bill Wiegand, died a couple of days ago. And so we, in your charity, please pray for him as we pray, eternal rest grant unto him, O Lord.
And perpetual life shine upon him.
May he rest in peace.
Amen.
May his soul and all the souls of the faithful departed through the mercy of God rest in peace.
Amen.
Good night, everybody. God bless. Tony will be back next week. Thank God. Good night.
You can hear Pastor's Perspective every evening at 9 o'clock after the Rosary on KCDM. You can also pick up the show at 5 p.m. on Saturdays and 2 p.m. on Sundays.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show.